Hi, Lane. Your sissy's unhappy today, isn't she?
That's because she hit her head.
She bumped her head. I thought I heard that bump. Yeah. Oh, and we left Binky in the car. Oh, my. It's a trauma day. It's a trauma day. Okay. Oh, did you write on this for us? Okay. Oh, and is that an angel? It kind of looks like an angel to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have a picture, too. Have you ever seen that picture before anywhere? Yeah, it is up there sometimes, isn't it? You're right. It's the symbol of the United Church of Christ. And sometimes it is right up there. You're right. You remembered that. I've got one that you can hang on to. And sometimes we look at things all the time, and it's also when you're in your seat and you look at this big black book, there's a really faint one on the front, and then there's a bigger one right there, that clear one that you can see, huh? So it's all over here, and it's the symbol, and I've got one right here, and oftentimes Mr. Bill has one on his jacket too. It's the symbol for the United Church of Christ, and all around the edge, around this oval, it says United Church of Christ. That's the name of all of our churches all across the country, the whole USA. And then this says that they may all be one. And that's a prayer that Jesus prayed. He prayed to God that all people around the world could be one. And so that is what we think of when we think of the United Church, because everybody's united together. And then, do you know what this thing is? What's it look like? What's this thing right here? Is there one up there in gold? Do you know what that is? It's called a cross. And we have that cross, and it may sound kind of weird, but we have that cross because Jesus died on a cross. And the people back then thought everybody would be very ashamed that he died. He was killed on a cross. But he conquered the cross because he came back to life. He rose again. And so this cross that they thought would shame him and make him feel bad and make all the people that loved him feel bad, instead, we're proud of that because he came back to life even though they killed him on a cross. So we have the cross as our symbol. And we have a crown up there because Jesus is our king over presidents and prime ministers and emperors and everybody. Jesus is the king. And this, what shape is that? It's a circle, yes. And that circle represents the whole earth. Have you ever seen a globe? The whole earth is a circle?
Yeah, because my papa has a globe.
Yes.
And I have a globe at my house, too.
Yes, you have a globe. Very good. Well, that's what that represents. Hi, Ella. Hi. Glad you're here. And it has lines, making it into three parts, because Jesus told us to be his witnesses. Yes. To show everyone Jesus' love in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. So it's three parts and then the whole world, because Jesus told us to be his witnesses, to show his love in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole wide world. All right? So now you know what all those things mean. So when you see it on the songbook, you know what that means, huh? And you've got one to take home. Does Ella need one too? To eat? Yes, you have it.
Ella loves eating paper.
Yes, Ella loves eating paper. That would be that age, yes. Would you like to say a prayer with me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, let's say a prayer. Very good, very good. Oh, you can have it back. Nope, doesn't want to do that. Okay, that's okay. Mommy, we'll hold hands. Okay. Jesus, we thank you for telling us what we need to do, for asking us to be your witnesses all around the world. Help us be good witnesses and watch over all our children, all our families. In your name we pray, amen. Will you pray with me? Sovereign God, we bow at your feet. Help us worship you alone. We look toward your realm Help us to see and build your kingdom here on earth among all your peoples. We thank you for all our joys. We thank you for the life-giving love with which you sustain us through our sorrows. We thank you for the ways you redeem our hardest trials, for our lessons, our friends, and the people we become in you. Jesus, teacher, grantor of blessings, help us follow you. Guide us as we seek your work. Show us your face in every stranger. Help us reveal your love everywhere we go. Spirit of God, wind of presence, blow through us. Lift us, encourage us. May we sense your power. May we trust your strength and fire as we serve and live in your will. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The same writer who authored the book of Luke is believed to have written the book called Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. According to Acts, after his resurrection, Jesus stayed with his followers about 40 days, finally telling them to stay in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. From Acts 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him up out of sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Here ends the reading from the first chapter of Acts. My message this morning is called Powerful Spirit. His students wanted to know what no one knew. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They assumed that was the plan. It had taken a couple thousand years to have a king like David bring all of Judah and Israel into one united realm, free of outside oppressors. Wasn't that what Jesus was born for? To reunite the team? Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Can we learn from their cluelessness? First of all, clearly we can be used for God's purposes without ever seeing the big picture. We have been blessed by these muddle-minded disciples. Secondly, God may not want us to know the what or the when. What would happen if we knew tomorrow was the big day? Whatever we imagine the big day entails, the gates of paradise, the final trumpet, the rapture, judgment day, or God only knows. What if we knew What might we do? Would we lord it over the uninformed? Ha ha ha. Would we threaten people? Better get yourself straight. Would we slack off, neglect our bills, and eat bonbons? What would we do? Tell just our favorites? You realize it won't be paradise if all the riffraff get in. Would we skirt a look as if we had been ministering all along? Or would it be an excuse not to house the homeless, feed the hungry, and write letters for justice? Those folks missed the boat out of luck, right? What would we do if we knew? Gee, maybe Jesus knew best. It is not ours to know the times of anything. So what do we do? We signed up with Jesus, after all of us at some point or other. Here's a bold and wacky idea. We could take the gifts he gave us and do the work he told us to do. Not what the TV evangelist or some other person told us to do. We could take the gifts that Jesus gave us and do the work Jesus told us to do. Just before he ascended into the clouds, Jesus told his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Right there, gift and assignment. Power of the Spirit, and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. What are those? Think Tiffin, the USA, and Iran or Russia or whichever enemy territory you'd like to choose. Ever notice that circle at the bottom of the symbol for the United Church of Christ? It's on the edge of your hymnal if you want to look. It represents the globe divided in three parts for Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In case you ever forget your assignment, the globe is right there, calling us to reveal Christ, show God's love of neighbor, all the way to the ends of the earth. The gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. Sounds big, eh? Can we just throw that weight around? When we baptize in the United Church of Christ, the pastor lays hands on the head of the newly baptized and says, "The Holy Spirit be upon you, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church." We must have pretty powerful hands to pour out the Spirit on demand, right? Pastors are called to perform certain roles, to practice certain functions. In the United Church of Christ, pastors are called by a congregation after being educated by a seminary, examined and authorized by an association. When we are ordained, those ordained before us lay hands on us to symbolically hand down the power of the Spirit of God to empower us for our work. Pastors are called to roles of shepherd, prophet, and priest. Shepherds heal and guide their sheep. Prophets speak God's word whether people want to hear it or not. And from clear back in the time of Moses, priests have led worship, offered sacrifices, settled disputes, and protected the flock from unholy influences. Today, our priestly practices are leading worship, presiding over communion, and baptizing new Christians. We invoke the Spirit upon the bread and the juice to make it the Lord's Supper. We bless the newly baptized as children of God. When I laid hands on Ella or Dylan, Drew or Evely, I said, "The Holy Spirit be upon you, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church." I blessed them with the Spirit. Not I. God did. Even when I baptize, I say, "You are baptized," because I don't do it. God does it. We invite, we invoke, we seek, we ask, we pray. God will do what God will do. And God blesses with wild and unlimited love. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost, called the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit loudly, visibly touched thousands of new Christians. That was the first appearance of the Spirit, right? Well, if that was the first visit of the holy breath of God, how did those thousands get there to be touched? Don't you think the Spirit was already with Ella and Dylan, Drew and Evely from their birth? Even before the time of Jesus, Moses ordained the descendants of Levi to priestly functions, offering sacrifices, administering healing, deciding disputes, and leading the people. Yet no priests have ever hemmed in God, never told God what to do. With good reason. We are humans, limited to our nations, our languages, our families, and our prejudices. Did you know Peter and Paul argued over who should be allowed in the faith? Peter could only imagine Jews following Jewish Jesus. So if a non-Jew wanted in, he would have to be circumcised and follow a kosher diet and all the rituals and practices. So the Spirit sent Peter, Paul, who could be a most insistent teacher. Paul, after being knocked flat, blinded, and converted by the Spirit, Paul called himself the apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And the Spirit sent Peter a repetitive dream about all of creation being clean and acceptable to God, because God had work for them to do. And Peter and Paul's little human notions were getting in the way. God will do what God will do. What did the students, the disciples of Jesus, do after he rose into heaven? Well, just like us, they stood a while, looking up, waiting, until a couple of angels kick-started them. Then they walked back to Jerusalem. They climbed together to that upper room and returned to prayer. Jesus had prayed often, sometimes for hours. They saw him. He had prayed with them. He had taught them to pray, and he had prayed alone. They knew they could pray. How might you hear the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, what the Spirit has in mind for you? First, an explanation about the terms. In the biblical languages, both Hebrew and Greek, breath and wind and spirit are the same word. Next time you read your Bible and come across one of those words, try out one of the others. Know that the translator guessed which one fit in English. So way back in Genesis 1, when all the universe was a formless void, the Spirit of God, or a wind from God, or the breath of God, blew across the watery deep. So now, how might you hear what the Holy Spirit has in mind for you? Ask. No middleman required. You are authorized to speak and listen to the Holy One all by yourself. Pray, asking to hear from the Spirit. I know for some of you it's a wild notion, but you really can hear from God. Many of us have long been accustomed to praying the Lord's Prayer, or praying a prayer in your bulletin, or even free-form prayers. Thank you, God, for Aunt Janie and Cousin Bob. Please send them healing and comfort. Be with our soldiers far from home. Watch over Susie as she goes off to college. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Those are great prayers. A million other kinds of prayers are great prayers. However, we might be so used to talking to God that we forget to listen to God. Think God would not bother with someone like you? Paul thought so too. Paul had been persecuting those who were following Jesus. Yet the Spirit turned Paul all the way around. Sit in a quiet place where you might have uninterrupted time. Especially if someone will disapprove, avoid them. If you have a list of thanks, worries, and requests, go ahead, give those to God. Offer God all your regular prayers. Then be quiet and listen. Is there a specific person, situation, or decision you seek guidance for? Ask God. Try asking God without telling God. Not, God, help me get this job, but, Holy One, where would you have me work? Then wait. When your mind wanders, ask again, God, where should I work? What kind of work should I do? It is normal for our minds to wander off to grocery and to-do lists. When the monkeys start playing in your trees, gently call your mind back. If you have no specific issue, say, thank you, God. Or, Creator, I am listening. Chances are, in time, you will hear something. It is not ours to know the time or the season. Devote yourself to listening prayer and wait for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And please let me know how it goes. It seems the disciples prayed for a week or 10 days until Pentecost. 50 days from the first day of Passover is Pentecost. Jews from all over gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this festival with sacrifices of brand new grain. This story from the book of Acts, it might remind us that our vision is not God's vision. The Jews never did conquer Rome. Indeed, when the chosen people tried, the temple was destroyed. Human visions may not be blessed. We do need to spend time in worship and prayer, listening for the direction of the Lord. Yet if we spend too much time staring up at the clouds, waiting for somebody else to do something, the angels may need to give us a kick. There are prisoners to visit, naked people who need clothing, oppressed peoples to liberate, hungry sheep to feed, friends to forgive, neighbors and enemies to love. Jesus said, the fact that Jesus gave us so much to do should encourage us. He has such faith in us. And in reality, there's no need to wait for any human to lay hands on your head. Jesus assured us we are drenched in the Holy Spirit, all that power, blessing, and love for you to step out in faith. We have the company, the boldness of our advocate everywhere we go. By that powerful Spirit, we are empowered to witness for our God. We are emboldened to reveal the overwhelming love of Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. We are people of God, every one of us blessed with the power, the strength, the boldness of the Holy Spirit of our Lord. Go into the world with that behind you and witness to the ends of the earth. Go in peace. How are you, Chris?